was one of the most important Obama had to give during the Democratic primary campaign, as the right controversy threatened to sink his poll numbers as he and Hillary Clinton headed toward the Pennsylvania primary a month later. In the speech, Obama made reference to the incident with his grandmother and the panhandler. He explained he could no more disown Reverend Wright than he could disown his own grandmother, a woman who loves me as much as she loves anything in the world, but a woman who once confessed her fear of black men who passed by her on the street, and who, on more than one occasion, has uttered racial or ethnic stereotypes that made me cringe. The comment in Obama's Philadelphia speech caused conservative columnist and blogger Steve Saylor to quip that Obama had thrown his 85-year-old grandmother under the wheels of the bus. Remember, this grandmother was the same Madeline Dunham who had used her bank vice president's salary to provide room and board for Obama, plus the tuition to attend high school. Never in telling the bus story in the autobiography or decades later in his campaign apology in Philadelphia does Obama take the time to acknowledge that Madeline was at that bus stop to go to work and earn a living from which he would benefit. Obama may have titled the speech A More Perfect Union, but the invitation he issued that day to bring the question of race up to a new national dialogue involved not lofty questions of first principle, but a descent into his private personal psychology. Running for president, Obama's Philadelphia speech demanded we go back to his childhood and judge his grandmother. The choice was his, not ours. Why is he talking about his grandmother? An observer could ask, when the reason for the speech was criticism Obama was receiving over the extreme black rage expressed against the United States by his preacher's liberation theology sermons. What Reverend Wright had to do with his grandmother was evidently both played an important role in shaping Obama's racial identity. In relating his development at Punahou, Obama singles out the impact Malcolm X's autobiography had on him. His repeated acts of self-creation spoke to me, Obama writes. The blunt poetry of his words, his unadorned insistence on respect, promised a new and uncompromising order, martial in its discipline, forged through sheer force of will. Obama is quick to add that he rejected Malcolm's talk of blue-eyed devils and apocalypse as baggage that Obama believed Malcolm X had himself abandoned at the end of his life. But a key point in Malcolm X's autobiography had a major impact on Obama. And yet, even as I imagined myself following Malcolm's call, one line in the book that stayed with me, he spoke of a wish he'd once had, the wish that the white blood that ran through him, there by an act of violence, might somehow be expunged. The allusion is to Chapter 12, Savior, in Malcolm X's autobiography. Malcolm was relating one of the earliest speeches he gave in 1953 in Detroit, when he first became a minister in the Nation of Islam. In the speech, Malcolm railed at the white man who had raped his grandmother on the Caribbean island of Antigua, fathering his mother Louise. "Turn around, look at each other," Malcolm told the congregation. "What shade of black African polluted by devil white man are you? You see me? Well, in the streets they used to call me Detroit Red. Yes, yes, that raping red-headed devil was my grandfather. That close, yes. My mother's father. If I could drain away his blood that pollutes my body and pollutes my complexion, I'd do it. because I hate every drop of the rapist's blood that's in me. The passage takes up one paragraph in Malcolm X's autobiography, a book of 455 pages. Yet it is that one that's stuck in Obama's mind. We are drawn back to the imagined Life magazine with the story Obama remembered of a black man who had tried to peel off his black skin, or of France Fanon's imagination that a serum had been invented that would turn black skin white. These are the images that have stuck in Obama's mind. Yet it turns out not that Obama wants to become white, a classic African-American psychological issue, but rather the haunting image here is the reverse. Obama wants to will all the white blood out of himself so he can become pure black. Reflecting on the Malcolm X passage cited above, Obama wrote, "I knew as well that traveling down the road to my self-respect, my own white blood, would never recede into mere abstraction. I was left to wonder what else I would be severing if and when I let my mother and my grandparents at some uncharted border." At this point, Obama's story of race and inheritance appears complete. His race, he self-determines, is African-American. In making that determination, he rejects everyone white, including his mother and his grandparents. We do not have to speculate about this. Obama tells this to us outright. His words are direct, defying us to miss his meaning.